Diana J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker. With 23 years of experience in Ventura County, from Westlake to Carpinteria, experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started her real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial, and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 01190308.
Start Again, Not Over was founded by Dr. Leticia Jimenez, a leading local empowerment coach in Ventura County. Dr. Leticia Jimenez works with men and women who are struggling to remember their true authentic self and purpose. Divorce, career changes, loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, and other personal and professional challenges keep many of us from moving forward. Start again, not over. Revive your true authentic self and start living a life of meaning, happiness, and fulfillment. Visit startagainnotover.com and sign up to receive your free 30-minute coaching session with Dr. Leticia Jimenez. Join the Sano movement and start living the life you were meant to live.
Let's get it started in here.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And, of course, The Kim Pagano Show. And I know things are a little treacherous out here, and my heart goes out to everyone that's been affected by the fires. And, you know, gosh, and thank you to all the firefighters. They've been really doing an amazing job. So I just really want to say that, and I know that so many people at this time of the holidays are just, you know, life is a little uneasy now, so I just want you to know that my heart is with all of you. Today, I want to start with a little something uplifting, and of course, it's firefighters save more than homes. They save our hearts, memories, and dreams, and, you know, I just... That's all I can say. That's all I can say. I do want to give out our phone number here, 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We have an interesting show today, and John's actually not going to be with us, but Tom is here with me.
Hi. All ready to go, Kim.
There
doing
you go.
Great.
Good. Thanks so much, Tom, for always being here. And our first guest is going to be Eddie Anders, and we're going to be talking about Waking Up Dead. Some of us feel that way, and some of us, you know, have those thoughts, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. J.G. Falanzi, and we're going to be talking about the love of your life is you, how we can lift ourselves up. And then, of course, we go all the way through till 8 o'clock, and we're going to have Mark Rampola, high-hanging fruit, and it's all about the Zico coconut water. It's a very interesting, uplifting entrepreneur story, and so we'll find out a little about that. And then, of course, we have Diana Anthony, who is always a hoot and is 101 realtor, and I'm telling you, if you need to think about moving, selling, doing something, she's the person to give us a call. Anyways, with that, Tom, you want to talk about some of our great mentions and giveaways and events going on?
We do start off with the Rubicon Theater and their amazing and very well-reviewed presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. What better show for Christmas time, December 6th? It started running December 6th, and we go through December 23rd. Tickets right here with Kim Pagano. LA Zoo Lights, another very, very fun presentation of the brightest holiday tradition you have ever seen at the LA Zoo. It's Christmas lights and all those wonderful animals. Rubio's, the original fish taco, their mission is to serve coastal Coastal Food that you can feel great about eating. Delicious food for them, and we will have a gift certificate. You can enjoy a sandwich at Mendocino Farms. It's a sandwich market located in Westlake at the Westlake Plaza. And then we have, what else is going on? Just a lot of stuff happening around town. Now, some things were canceled, but this weekend for tonight, I just want to give a tip on a freebie. It's the Parade of Lights, Ventura
Harbor. That's right,
Harbor.
Over at the so boats. Much fun. Yeah, there you go.
So much fun. So it's a
good
thing
tonight?
To do.
Yes, it is tonight. Yes, it is tonight. That's right. Yeah,
Saturday
perfect.
Evening,
that's right.
So
yeah.
You will see it tonight.
Very
and
good.
And it will be great. That's for free.
Okay, great. Well, I do want to give out our phone number here. And, of course, that is 805-419-0008. We've got some tickets to Charles Dickens, and of course that's A Christmas Carol. It'd be a great gift to take somebody and share your time with. So call in right now, and let's start off with our first guest. Eddie, are you there?
I am, Kim.
Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you. My heart goes out to you and all the citizenry of your area. My kids live in L.A., so I've been keeping up with all the fire.
Yeah, it's been a little tragic out here, and I mean, thank God we haven't lost a lot of lives. That's like the blessing to all of this. But the blessing is that there are people that are homeless now, and they need They need new homes, and so we can only go up from here. Hopefully we can get this, fire under control, and, that's kind of where we're at. Tell us a little bit about you and yourself and your story.
Well, I am a career musician, and a keyboard player, vocalist, singer. I've been on the road with lots of different people. I've served in churches around America at various times in my life, and in the 90s had a family entertainment venue, a restaurant, a theater in Smoky Mountains of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and that really is the kind of the cornerstone of it was the best of times and the worst of times. It's the cornerstone of my story, really, because when it came to a tragic end in a very ugly partnership battle, which I ended up losing because I was only 30% equity in the partnership, even though it was my name on the building and my sweat equity that built the business. When that ended, I kind of tumbled into a depression that I just couldn't seem to pull myself out of. Because I was a good performer, nobody really knew it. I was the last guy on earth that you would have thought was contemplating suicide, but I really felt it was a burden, not because they took my name off the sign or I lost the big house or had to file bankruptcy or any of that. It was much deeper than that. It was a really deep-seated spiritual issue for me that kind of sent me into a tailspin and a darkness that I began to just kind of curse my own life.
Can I ask you a question? Was that something that you had for your whole life? Did you always feel unhappy deep down?
No, I was the life of the party.
Okay, so this isn't something that you haven't always had a depression problem.
No.
Okay.
It began, it really started with that event. Now, the way I was wired to, as a performer and always doing things, with people interacting with audiences and responses and all that kind of thing. And if it wasn't just, I had a black belt in perfectionism. So if it wasn't everything I thought it should be, I was troubled by it. So the simple fact that I was wired that way, and like a lot of artistic people, melancholies or whatever, I was the classic, way up, way down, but it wasn't there wasn't any kind of chemical issue. There wasn't anything that I had been diagnosed with. There was no real sign of that apart from the usual angst of a perfectionist, musician, artist kind of guy.
Okay. What was that problem at that time?
Well, I lost this partnership deal. I was planning on, from the get-go, buying out my partners. We were trying to take our concept Eddie's Heart and Soul Cafe to downtown Disney to Atlanta to about 8 locations. And everything was going great. We were voted the best restaurant in the East Tennessee in the Smoky region, Smoky Mountain region. And we were getting endorsements from all over the place. And my partners just saw that. And the battle ensued. And the last 18 months I was there, it was awful. And they ended up locking me out of my own office and locking me out of the business part of it. And all I did was come in and perform. And it just got worse and worse. And I was surrounded by a lot of brilliant people, all who really counseled me to get away from that situation, that it was a hole that I would never dig myself out from simply because of our business arrangement. And they were really trying to, I offered them $2.5 million to take them out, and they wouldn't take less than $5.5 million for a 250-seat restaurant. So it just didn't work, and I ended up having to lose everything.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, it is things like that you know, you feel, I think, because you were on such a high, and you drop so fast to the lowest part of your life, and then, you know, there's nobody to pick you up. So we have to learn how to pick ourselves up. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah. And you see, I did just the opposite. I said a minute ago, I began to curse my own life. In other words, and what I mean by that is, you know, I drop my keys, you know, I'm constantly mumbling, I'm an idiot, I can't do anything. Just, I got into that frame of mind, and my quote-unquote self-talk and things that I muttered on all day long were really, I wasn't really irritated with everybody else. My marriage is great, Nancy and I, and our kids, our relationship, in fact, we even closed ranks. All that was in good shape. You know, I reached out to a friend of mine saying, look, I'm in a dark spot. In fact, I feel like I'm becoming self-destructive. And he looked at me, you know, and said, why would you be depressed? Everybody wants to be you. And everybody said, you know, I landed in clover and all that. I mean, because I was making a comeback. I was doing everything I could do to crawl and climb my way out. I was writing new music. I was performing on television. There was lots of great things going on, new record. Back on the road, you know, people thought I was fine, but I wasn't. I was just a good performer to the point that, you know, I was trying to do right by everybody. And so I was attempting to do that, but the interior inside of me, it became very dark. And I'd perform lead worship, in fact, in front of 2,000 people and walk off stage and go to my office and get on my computer and look for ways to take my own life with a little bit of dignity and I wouldn't involve anybody else.
Eddie, you know, and I do want to remind anybody that's just waking up with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, I want us to say, Eddie, I've never met you before. I'm so glad that you didn't go through with your plans. And for a moment, did you even think about your kids, your family, or was that just so fogged with your depression and with your, you know, your thoughts of not being good enough at that time? Did that overpower all that?
Well, I thought about my kids constantly, and we even talked about a lot of the struggles. We were very open and honest with each other. And with Nancy, we've been married this year's 42 years, and she walked through all this with me, and they surrounded me even. And I did, when the day came that I went to take my own life, I wrote notes to them, prayed for them. I had told them, I didn't get really detailed and specific, you know, but I would say things every now and then, you know, when things would come up that you'd be better off without me. I mean, you know, it was like, oh, don't say that. You know, I mean, we have those little moments, but it wasn't because I was really working on it, trying to be everything I needed to be, even though I felt this on the inside. They didn't really have the idea that I was, even though I wasn't who I used to be and I was struggling, they didn't think I'd become that self-destructive. Hmm. And what you need to know, the thing is, you need to know that a year after I had to leave the cafe, my restaurant, I ended up having ruptured diverticulitis, gallstones, and appendicitis all at once. Direct result of internalizing the struggle, this battle that I had been in, and I can't even begin to tell you. There's two chapters in the book about that struggle that leads up to the suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me ask you, Eddie.
Sure.
You know, because our show is about the brighter side, and the brighter side isn't always, you know, it's how we got there. And what stopped you? What if my listeners are out there in some despair right now and they think life's not going, you know, good for them, or they think things have just gotten to their last stop, their last time in life? What did it take for you to turn your life around?
Well, Kim, you know, I came to a point where I went to Minneapolis and actually made that attempt on my life. And for the doctor's definition, I should have died 10 times over. I consumed such a large amount of Ambien and other medications. I shouldn't even be here. So I got a new chance in life because I ended up calling home on the third day. They were planning my funeral. So I have to say, you know, that it was a long process out, but on this side, the bright side of all this is that, you know, I mean, it was a miracle that I'm alive. And the process for me was rewiring, re-gearing my mind. You know, we live in such a world, just like there's got to be a lot of people who may be listening today, or at least know people that with what you guys are going through, I mean, going to be a brutal thing emotionally for people. We're challenged every day with news that we hear. You know, we're bombarded. Our senses are bombarded. And I had to rewire my thinking and my entire way of approaching life, because I had become so negative and saw the, you know, there was just no hope. And I had to renew that. I had to, we're the American dream and the American initiative and our strong spirit. You know, we're kind of conditioned to show strength and never to show vulnerability and weakness. I would say the first thing that if you're facing this, you gotta get somebody and that you trust and say, here's where I am. This is the issue. You know, I need you to stand by me. I need you to pray with me. I need.
Did you do that?
I did.
Okay, and here's your friend saying, what do you mean? We all want to be like you. Why, you know, how could you be depressed? What was your comeback to that?
Well, that was before, you know, that kind of shut me down until after the suicide attempt. Once I got to the other side of that.
But what, so you didn't hear anything they said?
Well, no. No, I mean,
think people hear anything. They're in such a low, low place that they think basically no one cares about them. Whatever they say isn't worth anything, and they just want to be done. So what I'm trying to figure out is, what would it take? What did you need at that time? I mean, it's so hard for the people on the outside when they already know they love you and want you to be safe and want you to, I mean, was there a time that your wife knew that this was going to happen? Could she have called the police? What would have changed it?
Well, my kids ask me that, and Nancy, they all ask me that after the fact. What could we have done? And my response at that point was basically nothing, because they were already doing everything they could do. There comes a point where you have to come to a point, and for me, you know, I have to say that a lot of this had to do with just my faith. I'd become cynical and bitter. I'd seen way too much. I'd been hurt by a lot of people, and I just rolled myself up in a ball and checked out of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I was a good performer, you know, my joy and my energy and my life that people saw on stage or whatever, only a handful of people knew the struggle that I was going through.
Well, that's kind of normal, because we all kind of keep to ourselves and there's a couple people. But,
right.
You know, what makes me sad is that there's nothing anybody else could do. And do you call the police? Do you call the suicide watch? What does a family do? That's what I want to know. Will you stay on with us? Because we need to take a really quick break. Okay, great. For anybody that's just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We're so grateful that you're here. I'd love to give something away. And we have some Mendocino Farm Sandwich Market. And if you've never been there, it's in Westlake, and it's amazing, good food. So I'd love to give a gift certificate away for that. Call us right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Water has partnered with the Kim Pagano Show to deliver the message that saving water is a California lifestyle. Ventura Water offers many resources designed to help our customers save. Looking to replace your high water use lawn with a beautiful drought-tolerant garden? Apply for the WaterWise 2.0 incentive program to receive $2 per square foot of turf. When was the last time you updated your irrigation system? Ventura Water now offers free smart irrigation controllers that use local weather data, soil, and plant types to create a customized watering schedule. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call. That's 805-667-6500.
Back by popular demand, holiday hit Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol returns to Rubicon Theater Company. Adapted by producing artistic director Carol Lynn Burns and directed by Brian McDonald, this innovative retelling of the classic is presented as a play with music. Children will thrill at the highly theatrical elements, with characters playing inanimate objects and animals on a multi-level set. And adults can look forward to the faithful treatment of this timeless tale. Make your holidays extra special this year with what the Ventura Breeze calls an amazing, astonishing, awe-inspiring show. A Christmas Carol runs December 6th through December 23rd on Wednesdays through Sundays. For tickets, call 805-667-2900 or go to RubiconTheater.org. That's RubiconTheater.org.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We're talking with Eddie Anders. We're talking about his book, Waking Up Dead. Why did you write your book, Eddie? And talk to us about that. Is that, you know, you just really want people to hear your story, that you can help people?
Yeah. About two-thirds of the book is about what happened to me. And even within that, I give some advice and things that I've learned from my own life. I waited 10 years to release this book because I wanted the miracle and the life change and the new way of thinking and the bright side, as you would say, the brighter side of all this to be proven by a decade of living a new, vibrant life. And so that's why we waited 10 years to release the story. The last third of the book is kind of what we've been talking about, is climbing my way out and helping give other people kind of a roadmap of what helped me to get out of the darkness and to be rewired in my way of thinking. And you asked before the break, you know, what could other people do? I'd say if you have a loved one, there are certain signs to look out for. Most likely, you know, I mean, significant changes in appetite, sleep habits, and all that, as a lot of people have heard. But also, I think one of the things to look for is when people begin to roll up into solitude. You know, when they don't engage other people, they don't have a lot to say. They quit expressing opinions. There's no laughter. There's no, you know, they disengage. I would say that is one of the greatest red flags to look for. Changes in character like that, that's combined with changes in sleep habits or diet. I gained 40 pounds through that process.
But that's contradicting what you said. You said not eating or doing, you know what I mean? So,
Well, I don't mean to be contradictory.
Well, no, I'm just saying is, you know, because I know people that, you know, are gain the most weight when they're depressed. You know what I mean? So it just,
sure.
You know, I what I guess my thought is, I mean, did you ever think and consider the pain and the decision of your friends or your family or anything like that? Did that ever go through your head?
Certainly. But you get to a point, and it's hard to describe this to anybody. There's listeners that will probably understand this exactly if they're anywhere where I was. But there's a line that you cross, I think, at some point where you really have convinced yourself that your spouse, your kids,
everybody will be better off, correct?
Will be far better off. You, it's really weird, and I can't even describe that. But I describe my life as I was living on the inside of a glass cylinder, and all this enthusiasm and excitement and things I was involved in was swirling all around me. But it's like I couldn't touch it anymore. I was
so sad for you. That's so sad, and it's so sad for people that feel this way, you know, and that just can't see. I mean, look at, we're talking about some of the high profile people, Robin Williams. I mean,
sure.
There's so many people that have taken their lives and they can't see past their sadness.
Right.
Now, did you interview a lot of people when you were doing your book or after the fact, or did you go into counseling, or, you know, what are some of the steps that you took?
Well, I did go to counseling. When they released me from the hospital to the to my family's care, and we went back to Northeast Iowa. We were 4 hours away in Minneapolis when I did this, and so yeah, I did get in counseling, and as far as the book is concerned, as far as interviewing people, yes, I mean, again, over that 10-year period, I would go speak at different places. People invite me to come share my story. When I do concerts, I would interject a lot of it, and there were always people that I was talking to from every walk of life, all over the country, that I drew a lot from and compared my situation with theirs. And so a lot of things in the book come from my own experience, you know, as far as helping people get through this and get out of it. And it also draws from helping other people deal with that. So again,
that's great.
You know, I had a decade now of living on the other side of it. And it's a choice still. It is a choice every day. And people think it's kind of like the, you know, they almost trivialize it, especially if you're in a cynical mood. You know, I didn't want anybody to give me any little cliches. It made me mad. I would always thank them and be nice to them because I was a good performer. But on the inside, it just kind of infuriated me because, like, you don't know how I feel. Shut up. Go away. I mean, that's what I wanted to say, and I did. But, you know, sometimes people throw cliches at you, feel like your skin's going to fall off because you're just in a bad place, and it doesn't help. And sometimes it even hurts more. So, but the bottom line is that there is hope, there is a way, and a lot of it is retraining the way you think, you know, and it's a daily decision. You know?
Well, yeah, you have to turn yourself around. You have to turn your thoughts around. Tom, you have a question?
Yeah, I have a kind of a comment question. When I went to college, I went to Cal State Northridge, and we had an instructor there that, by chance, when he was going through college in San Francisco, he worked on one of the suicide hotlines, and he dealt with some people who survived suicide. One was a bridge jumper, and two others had jumped off one of the wharfs or piers. And the thing that was interesting about the two that jumped off the wharf, when they hit the water, what did they do?
They wanted to live.
They tried to swim.
Yes.
And so, and he was talking about the fierce inside to your marrow that really wants you to live. And it was the same with the bridge jumper. When he went up, they said, "What did you think?" And he said, "A thought flashed. Well, it really wasn't that bad." And it's so, and I love what you said about the cliches. It's like a lot of people who are suffering from cancer. Oh, just think good thoughts and things will be with you. Sometimes they'll just stare at you and say, "I have cancer."
Yeah.
You know, I know you mean well, but these things are starting to just beat me down here because this is very, very tough, and it's so hard for me to get through this. So as gentle as you're trying to be and as thoughtful as you're trying to be, it's a difficult thing for, and I will say, us civilians to deal with and comprehend.
That's right. I totally agree. So
I have to, Tom, I have to respond to what you said about the bridge jumpers. In my life, in the third day I was missing, and I had consumed all these pills and all this stuff that should have taken my life. When I woke up, there was no elation that I had failed. There was no...
Really?
In fact, I remember very little about that morning. I don't remember calling home. I don't remember any of that. The only thing I do remember was when I was waking up on the floor, looking across the bed at a television that was on, and I remember looking down on the floor, and there was more Ambien spilled on the floor. I had over 200 with me and two bottles and a whole lot of other stuff, and I'd taken more than 100 of them, and so I'd spilled some of the other bottle, and I remember picking up five or six, thinking to myself, I've got to finish this.
Wow.
And after that I don't remember anything else until being in the hospital that night. Somewhere in there I called home. So when I tell you that my opportunity at a new life is miraculous. The guy that ran the ER in Minneapolis said in 35 years of working in an inner city hospital in Minneapolis, he had never seen that lethal of an attempt at suicide fail.
Wow.
And he was hugging my neck and tears running down his face. You know, you can imagine how much he had seen. So that, and even in the hospital, when my kids and Nancy ran in and jumped on the bed and hugged my neck and kissed me all over and were glad you're not dead. And I was laying there miserable because I thought, I can't even kill myself. How can I fail at that? You know, now what am I going to do? Now I've really messed it up. So, you know, I was still loathing myself for the first 48 hours after they found me. But then that's when the miraculous began to take place. And
do you ever get those thoughts anymore, Eddie?
Well, I would say not to the extent, because if something begins to creep up, there are moments when I'll start fussing at myself or I'll hear myself say something about myself, and I immediately put it down and replace it with something else, because that's crucial about how you
change your thoughts.
Because we're all gonna make mistakes. We're all gonna mess up, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's the habits that you practice daily of how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
Right.
Yeah, it's like the bulimic. You know, Karen Carpenter. You know, there's certain people who they kill themselves because they talk themselves into crazy things because they think they're fat. You know, they think that they're worthless because they're overweight, and they end up killing themselves because they've convinced themselves that they're not supposed to eat. You know, they're not supposed to take care of themselves. They're supposed to be, you know, something that they're not, and they're never satisfied with that. In the same way, that's kind of the way it was with me. You know, it's like I could do a solo concert for 3,000 people, sell $4,000 worth of product at the table and have three standing ovations and still be irritated because I didn't think that I did it as good as I could have.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the way my whole life was geared.
Oh, gosh. Well, we are so glad that you were here to share your story and there for your wife and your children. And, of course, are you still singing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And do you
have...
Oh, there you go. Cool. Let me ask you a question. Do your songs represent how you feel about yourselves?
Yeah, the songs really go with the book. You know, I mean, there's a song we did, my version of Bless the Broken Road. There's a whole lot of other things on there, and all of them relate to, like the last song on the record's called Whole Again. And there's a song I wrote called God Loves You, which is about people who are in the struggle that I was in, and they may not be able to admit it to anybody or deal with it, and they're convinced that nothing can help them. And it's kind of me trying to communicate with them. So each chapter, each song goes with each chapter in the book.
All right. Well, I so thank you. Happy holidays. And, Eddie, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
thanks so much, Kim.
And please
God
share.
All of you. You're in our prayers for all the fires.
Thank you.
That.
Thank you so much. All right. And we look forward to talking with you again. All right. Stay
thanks,
with us.
Kim.
We are going to take a really quick break. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
Every gal strutting with her bow through the streets covered white with snow. Happy smiles everywhere you go. It's Christmas night in Harlem.
Are you looking for a graphic designer who can service all your business printing needs? Do you need a logo or layout for a new printout or digital marketing campaign? Where to Print offers the highest quality print and competitive pricing on apparel, banners, and stationery, including 1,000 business cards for $25. Where to Print is committed to supporting local nonprofits and paying forward their good fortune to help make a difference in the community. Visit www.wheretoprint.com. That's www.wheretoprint.com or call 866-612-3359 and mention Printing with a Purpose for your 10% discount today. If you didn't know where to print, now you know.
Ventura Water has partnered with the Kim Pagano Show to deliver the message that saving water is a California lifestyle. Ventura Water offers many resources designed to help our customers save. Looking to replace your high water use lawn with a beautiful drought-tolerant garden? Apply for the WaterWise 2.0 incentive program to receive $2 per square foot of turf. When was the last time you updated your irrigation system? Ventura Water now offers free smart irrigation controllers that use local weather data, soil, and plant types to create a customized watering schedule. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call. That's 805-667-6500.
One who's had breast cancer? One in eight women will. Join Susan G. Komen in its mission to eradicate the disease. Join the Los Angeles County Race for the Cure on March 10th at Dodger Stadium. Register today.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. I wanted to just share a moment. We've got a couple minutes till my next guest comes on. But I actually last weekend was able to go on a cruise, and I had planned it like 6 months ago and was not actually going to go because I just the despair of everyone, and I just felt so I just didn't want to go. Anyways, we ended up going. There was 30 women, and six of them had lost their homes. But three of them ended up going. We all just, I tell you, we brought extra outfits. We just brought whatever we could, kind of last minute, threw it together and went. And I have to tell you, it was like a magical trip. The women and even the people on the ship, there was somebody that had been shot from Las Vegas that was on there. It was just one of those magical trips. And so I just want to say sometimes you just need to be around the right people, the people that lift you. And anyways, I'm so grateful that I did take that trip. I've made, I'm sure, lifelong friends forever. And anyways, so we cried, we laughed, and we are back, and we're good to go. My next guest is JJ Falanze. I hope I said your name right. And it's all about the love of your life is you. I think this is so important. As we were just talking before to Eddie, sometimes it's hard to love ourselves, but when you finally do, oh my gosh, you could be your own best friend. And anyways, JJ, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kim.
Yeah,
nice to be here.
Of course. Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are, and is this a book?
It is. Actually, this is my second time on your show.
Okay.
The first time I was speaking about the Invisible Fitness Formula,
yep.
5 Secrets to Release Weight and Body Shame, and we were talking about that sort of that mind-body-soul integration.
Okay.
And that is a big piece of this is actually the love of your life is you. This comes from my second book, which is called To Love, How to Get Physically, Emotionally, and Spiritually Fit to Attract the Love of Your Life.
I love it. I love that. Okay, perfect. I mean, well, you can't really attract other people if you don't love yourself.
Absolutely.
I mean, and you can, yeah. But you might not get the right people, right?
Well, it's dependence. It's like a codependence.
Yes.
Actually, in a victim mentality versus a true like really good love, that when I say love, like a healthy love for yourself with a detachment and an acceptance and an understanding of the process of love instead of a neediness and a need to fill a void.
Right. You know, it's interesting. Just before you came on, I was talking about I went for a last minute cruise that we had planned for 6 months. And with all the fires out here, there were six of the women that lost their homes, and three of them went. And, you know, some didn't have any clothes. Some had, that was the only suitcase they packed. Some of us brought outfits just to help them, you know, be able to have clothes for the trip. It was so interesting. And, you know, we talk about on here, you know, one of your talking points was women tend to put themselves last and down. And we all lifted each other up, and it was amazing. That's why I think it was so magical. And you know, that's really how I started my show, how I started my women's support group, is you want to be around people that lift you, love you, and, you know, and want you to do better.
Absolutely. And I think that's a journey for some people to get to, because we have insecurities. Not everybody, but we tend to have insecurities. And so when we feel threatened, or someone who is vibrating at a higher level than we are, it seems like a scary place. I can't really live up to that. That's when those sort of negative behaviors happen, and we're cutting each other down and making comments that aren't very supportive or positive. But that's like an old way of doing things. And especially with what's going on in the world, we are definitely in need to switch that and to start focusing forward on what people like you and people like I are doing in groups and in events and with our messages in terms of love. When you love yourself first and you understand and respect yourself, it's so much easier to give it away to other people instead of trying to get validation and love and attention from other people to fill the hole we have inside of ourselves. So I think you're right, and it is a beautiful, powerful thing that we as women can give to each other, and it would be great if we can do it from a place of a true power within ourselves.
Right. And to feel like we're all have a purpose. We all are individual. We are all of our gift to this world. And that's really, you know, of finding out, you know, maybe you're taller than everybody. Maybe you're, you know, whatever it is, you know, maybe you're shorter than everybody. Maybe you're, you know, your hair is curly, your hair is straight. All of that doesn't matter. It's really like what's inside and what you offer the world. So give us some of the thoughts about how we can go about prioritizing our self-care.
Well, I, as a personal trainer and empowerment strategist, really looked at the way people use self-care. And I found, and that's what Fit to Love, how that came to be, was really utilizing self-care from a place of love, nurturing, support, and acceptance versus shame and self abuse and hating ourselves. So when we look at how we take care of our body, how we speak to ourselves, how we feed ourselves, how we view ourselves, those are all indications of our relationship with ourselves. And I think when it starts out with things like exercise, do you exercise? Or when you exercise, what are you thinking about? What are you telling yourself? Are you doing it, and can you acknowledge that what you're doing, whether you really love it or not, not really the issue. It's, are you doing it, and every time you do it, you are emphasizing how much you don't like your body, or you're feeling fat or unwanted or unsexy, or no one's going to love you if you don't lose weight. Are you anchoring those negative, shameful feelings, or are you on it going, boy, I really don't like this, but I, you know, I'm going to feel so much better, and I know that this is going to help my cardiovascular system and my heart and my muscles, and I'm going to burn some calories, and I'm going to feel energized later, and I'm going to be so proud of myself that I did this. Those are two very different scenarios in how to approach exercise.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I totally, you know, I'm going to take this. I hope you don't take this wrong, but I don't love exercising. Okay. But you know what? I love walking. I mean, there's, you know, there's different kinds of things that, even though, guess what? We did that on the ship. We all got together, and there's one of my girlfriends that works out like every single day, her and her husband. And so she showed us some of the stuff. Well, you know, I think it's all about having that partnership, that companionship. And I know there's a lot of people that are very self driven, I guess you would say, right?
Sure. The question would be driven by what, though? Driven by anxiety and fear, or driven by, again, love and self-care? Mm. That would be, that's the conversation and question to have. And while I totally, you don't have to, you know, be careful with telling me that you don't like exercise. It's not, again, like I said, it's not even the question of liking exercise. That's why, that's one of the things I do for people, whether it be working with people one-on-one or have group programs. Exercising, if you, there's a consequence to not doing it.
Correct.
It's like saving money or not paying your bills or not taking
a shower. Wow, I never thought about that, JJ, but that makes a lot of sense to me. I love it.
Yeah, so who cares if you like it or not? It's, you don't do it because you like it. You do it because you need it and because you know what will happen when you don't do it. And whether it means you hire a trainer or a coach or you join a gym or a support group or you get a partner or a workout partner, like you said, or accountability partner, then you find what works. I mean, there's several layers to that, but it's really not about whether you like it or not. It's about whether you value your body.
And it's a way of life. You make it a way of life. I love that. I do want to remind anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We're talking with JJ Filanzi, and we're talking about the love of your life is you. And you know what? Wow. You just nailed it for me. I mean, that is so true. What do? We, you know, I'm a hair therapist. You make yourself look better. You feel better. You do better. It's really the same thing with working out. And if we don't do that, where's our body going to be? Where's our muscles going to be? Where's our life going to be as we elder, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is definitely a consequence to not doing it. Just like if someone was to say to you right now, if you're not saving money or if you're not paying off your debt or if you're continuing to, like, and if you keep on this path, here's what's going to happen in 5 or 10 years from now. And when you lay it out like that, it's very clear. And same thing with your body, although most people just think it's about, like, going back to, well, I don't really like it. Well, okay. Do you care about your body? That's the question. Because then if you care about your body, you find a way to get it in. And for a lot of people, it's asking for help and accountability and, you know, working with someone like me or another trainer or a coach who could help develop a program that fits your lifestyle, that gets it in, because you want to age better. You want to feel better. You want to like yourself. Maybe you'll never like exercise, but that's okay. You don't have to.
Right.
I'm never going to like doing my taxes, ever. not going to happen.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for, that's a great analogy of that. So what are 5 important aspects of self-care to focus on?
Well, obviously exercise. We've been talking about that.
Yep.
What you put in your mouth.
Yep.
So your diet, because what you fuel yourself with, the quality of your food, is important for the quality of your body. And all of your food offers the substrates, or lack of them, that creates everything in your body, from your immune system to all of the different parts of your body, and how to build muscle and how to help reestablish your eye. I mean, from things like all of the different nutrients and amino acids and the vitamins. We need all these things from our food, but if we're eating crappy food, we're not getting them. So we're not really living optimally, and we're probably not feeling so good. So diet has to play a role. Another big one, which is free, is rest.
Hmm.
Most people think, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Well, you're going to die sooner because you're not sleeping. And it's rest. We have to rejuvenate and replenish our body and our hormonal stores, our adrenal stores, in order for us to function again optimally. Otherwise, we're on this sort of rat race, always feeling bad, mood swings, weight gain, adrenal fatigue. So we need rest. It's literally as important as everything else. And without deep REM sleep, our body does not get the chance to rebuild itself. And it's free to you. It's just, you know, getting the sleep might be a different challenge, and we've got all kinds of tools for that that don't include sleeping pills, because those you want to stay away from. But there's other issues to handle there. And then, of course, we've got play. Most of us, whether you own your own business or not, we don't work. We work to live. We don't live to work.
Hmm.
So life is about enjoying the moments. I mean, if you think about when was your favorite time, it's probably in some kind of event or life experience that didn't have to do with work. And maybe it did have a little bit to do with work, but maybe you have 5 different examples and 4 of them have nothing to do with your career or your business. So we live because we want to enjoy our lives and have joy and do whatever that means to you. And I think too often we get stuck in that rut of making money or trying to pay the bills, and we forget that there are simple things in life that can bring us joy and play that don't have to cost a lot of money.
Right.
But it's so good for our spirit and our soul. And the last one like I said in the beginning, it was like, is self-talk. And self-talk is, again, going to be the make or break mood bender. If you're talking about exercise and you're thinking about how much you don't like your body and no one loves you and I don't like the way I look and I don't fit in my jeans, if that's what you're talking to yourself about as you're doing this, of course you're never going to like exercise. And you're probably not going to want to do it because you keep emphasizing these negative feelings. But if you talk to yourself and say, you know, even though I don't like this exercise, even though, you know, I'd rather be watching television right now and laying on the couch, I recognize that what I'm doing for myself is a gift and my body is important and I want to age well and I want to burn some calories and I want to feel good. I want my heart, my lungs, and my body, my bones to be strong. How you talk to yourself is going to produce how you feel.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. I love it. It is a lot to do with self-talk, right? I mean, it is. It's like a discipline.
It's definitely a discipline. I'm going to say it's whatever you practice. I don't think it's as hard to change as other people think it is.
Okay.
And I think there are some root traumas and triggers that people can work on. But on the top conscious level, because 12% of our brain is conscious, that means 12% is that's what you can hear. You know what you're thinking. You are having a conversation in your head, and you know all the things you're saying to yourself. That's 12%.
Right.
Within that 12%, it's what you practice. Do you practice telling a story? Well, first of all, most of the stories we tell ourselves are all made up anyway. But let's say you have a life incident happen and you want to find another job. Do you create a story about why you can't and talk to yourself for an hour about all the reasons why you can't get a new job or it's not going to work out for you because you're making it up, it hasn't happened yet? Or do you tell yourself all and find all the reasons why you can?
Wow.
I don't think it's as hard to change as people think it is. It's really just what you practice.
JJ, really quick, we only got a couple minutes left. What are the four action steps to begin your transformation?
The first one is to do some kind of detox of your life, detox of your space, detox of your body. Start fresh, clean the lint trap out of the dryer. Let's start again and find what part of your life needs it the most.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is going to have to do with, in the title of the chapter is called Sexual Fitness, and that's a whole other show.
Okay. But I know. I'm having you back on about that. Okay. Well,
yeah, sexual fitness is really about the relationship to your sexuality, and I don't mean sex in just sex. That's part of it.
Right.
But the other part is if you're a man, are you in your power? If you're a woman, are you in your feminine power? Do you know how to use your femininity? Do you respect femininity? And until we can really love and respect those parts of ourselves and those duality parts of ourselves, then we're always usually running from the other one, and there's dysfunction and again, shame involved with that. So sexual fitness is the other one. A food love affair. Food love affair has to do with your relationship to your food. And do you have a relationship to your food, or is it dysfunctional? Do you never cook? Do you never clean? Do you never garden? Do you never put your hands in the dirt? How far removed are you from that which you eat? And creating literally a love affair. And it's such a fun topic. Being orgasmic over something like a cantaloupe.
Right.
Something that truly, like, the more you love it, the more you want it, the more your body utilizes it. And the more satiated you are, and the less you overeat.
Right. I love that. You know what, JJ, always amazing to talk with you. And I so appreciate it. Really quick, I know that you have, like, two more things on there on that list, right? What are they?
Wear sexy underwear.
And
that's not necessarily about underwear. It can be. For women, it could also be wear jewelry.
Right.
For men, it could be wear something fun and masculine underneath your clothes. But it's really about that sort of internal, ha-ha, like, I feel good underneath my clothes.
Right.
I'm doing something fun, and I don't have to show the world. It can be secret to myself, but it evokes that playfulness and that sensuality within you, which helps you to attract positive emotions from other people. But it's really about your secret within yourself. Buy yourself flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that one.
I love that too.
Yeah. And then the last one, thank your lucky stars, is really about appreciation, because what you appreciate, what you focus on, expands and you get more of what you pay attention to.
Wow.
So it's again, another free thing that you can do every day is to have a gratitude journal. I call it appreciation journal. And so really, you can always find 3 to 5 things every day, no matter what's going on in your life, of things that you can appreciate.
I love it. JJ, I am telling you, really good uplifting talk right now. Where do we find your book? Did you send me one?
I don't know. I have to check to see if someone sent it.
Okay.
One. If they didn't,
yeah,
I can.
If you could, can you send me a couple so maybe we can give away one to a listener right now?
Absolutely. So you can find everything at jjflizanes.com. That's jjflizanes.com. Everything's at jjflizanes.com.
I love it. Okay, great. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
All right. Please share our show with everyone. All right. We are at the end of our first hour. And of course, we always like to end our show with a moment of happiness. Courage is simply the willingness to be afraid and act anyway. With that, I hope that you have action steps that you can walk through and, you know, just keep walking forward. That's what it's all about. So with that, stay with us because we've got a whole nother hour. And again, I appreciate you being here. You have been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And we'll be right back.
In a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. We're dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank, misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drifting bank, and then we got upset. Upset? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells.